Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everything past here is spoiler zone. Spoil, spoil everywhere.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg and a fucking chicken.
Did I put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man?
Luigi Mario.
Hello and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where each week we watch one thing starring the most underrated actor in the history of the entire world, Mr. John Leguizamo. My name is Mish Witrop, who you might know from riding my friend's coattails my entire career. And I'm joined by a pretty good friend of mine, co-host Zach Ruane, who you might know from
pulling up from the bootstraps and doing it on my own.
Oh, thank you for letting me ride your coattails, Zach.
No, today, you haven't. We need to stop. With the self-deprecation, Mish.
Zach and I, we're fighting, so we've brought in a friend to mediate with us today.
I'm already team Mish. I'm already on your side.
Of course you are.
No, don't blame
We're joined by a comedian, artist, very, very, very funny, like one of my favorite people on the entire planet, Ree Down.
Oh my God, that is literally so nice. Thank you. What an introduction.
Well, straight off the bat, Ree does our artwork. So our little podcast artwork thingy was done by Ree.
It was done by
Ree. What a legend.
It was done by goddamn me. It's pretty cool.
Oh my goddamn Ree. How are you, Ree?
I'm pretty good. I have to say, when you were saying riding the coattails, I was telling my brother, who's actually like a very big Auntie Donna fan. I said, And I was saying, I'm doing Zach's podcast tomorrow with another one of our very good friends, Mish. And he was like, oh, Mish, who's in the skits? I was like, yeah. And he was like, I love her, and did a 5-minute TED talk about how she outshines you guys in scenes.
Fuck yeah. I love your brother. Man, I've not met him, but he sounds hot.
But he was, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure if he is. I just like wouldn't know that. But he is a big fan of both of you. So he was very excited.
Oh,
so
that's very
a big
sweet.
Shout out to Jared. Down.
Thanks, Jared. Thank you so much, Jared. Just a bit of love
Mish's
from your favorite
down.
Member of Auntie Donna. To
wow.
you.
It was very cute. And
Thank
he
you
says
so
that
much.
He likes your photos, Zach, that you put up, your selfies.
My selfies, yeah, I love a good selfie.
You didn't have to make this even, Ree. You could have just left it at my brother loves you, Mish.
I'm sorry.
She's just stating the facts. She's just laying out every piece of information she has, and then we can draw from that what we will.
That's all we're going to talk about in this podcast is what my brother thinks about you guys.
It's really, really important.
Yeah.
Ree Down... You're a comedian, you're a podcaster, you're an artist, you're a provocateur.
You sound so unsure.
But most
it
of all...
sounds like you're about to do it, this is your life.
You're a lover of John Leguizamo, Ree.
I do love him.
How do you Ree, say his last name, Ree?
I'm not sure, I will never know.
Ree, had you
I
heard
mean,
of
I
him?
Thought that when I was doing the podcast art that was what his last name was. And I was like, that's so nice. That's a
Leguizamo
fun Rama. Last
name.
Yeah.
You didn't
well,
notice
it could
the
have been.
Rama part.
No,
well,
I did.
It's an excellent...
It sounds like his name, like the way I would say it anyway.
It is a fantastic name for a podcast because even John Leguizamo himself thinks so. He's now posting our shit on his Instagram.
That is
he
so
loves the
cool.
wordplay. He loves the wordplay of his last name.
Every time he shared our podcast on his stories, he's just said our title with an exclamation mark or our title with a ha. So he's just going, like a Zamorama. Ha.
That's like, no, but I get it. So obviously
That's
my
so
name.
Cute.
My name's Mish. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Hi.
When I was probably like 22 or something, I was trying to explain a story to somebody and I was like, oh, sorry, I'm not really making a lot of sense. And he goes, oh, don't worry, I haven't misunderstood you. And I thought it was very fucking cool. And so then for the last 10 years of my life, I've said things like, oh, whoops, I made a mistake. Or, oh, no, I guess I'm, you know, a bit, I think we found ourselves in a bit of a misunderstanding. And no one finds it as entertaining as me.
It's so bad.
Once I was at a family barbecue and a middle-aged man who I'd never met before that day. I grew up in the country, so he was quite a brusque man. He walked past me, he was quite drunk, and he said, Zachary, do you know why your name is Zachary? And I said, no, I was a small boy. And I said, no. And he said, because your face looks exactly like your asshole.
Oh. How did this guy know your name? Why were you having a conversation with this absolute drunk psychopath on the side of the street?
I think your face looks exactly like a handsome man's face.
Bree, my name's Mish, and I've looked much similar to this my entire life. So, yeah, I was a chunky little kid. Little tiny spherical baby, little spherical child. So I went cute. To primary school with the name Mish. I got called the Michelin Man. Kids are clever. Like, some kid would have been on the school bus, driven past a tire place, seen the Michelin Man, gone, Michelin, Mish. Oh, like that fat girl in grade two. And then came to me that day and said, oh, you look like the Michelin Man. I've never forgotten.
Babe, I feel you so hard. Me and Mish, when we get together, we just call everyone fat, and then all of our skinny friends get like, they like don't say anything. They're like, oh, I guess she's like not a nice person. We're like, well, they're fucking fat. And because we're fat, we can fucking say it. And she's fucking fat. She is. She's fucking fat.
And I've earned that right, because when I was 8 years old, the 10-year-old boys called me the Michelin Man.
Babe.
Yeah.
You are so much cuter than him.
Yeah, I know. But then, like, Misha Barton came out in the OC and I was like, oh, that's kind of like me.
Yes.
But I look nothing like Misha Barton.
Misha Barton in the OC is dog shit. You are so much better than her.
I've never watched the OC.
No.
But it's on Stan. No, I've never seen an episode, but it's on Stan. Good. And my housemate started watching it again. And I tuned in for maybe like 15 minutes. And they're trying to make it out like this clean cut, blonde, blue eyed, just super clean shaven, very pretty guy.
Like he's, they're like, is he a gangster maybe?
And yeah. It's like, I don't think
not
he
really.
Is though.
Mm. Not really.
And is the he? Nerd is like, a
this
big
buff.
Babe. Yeah.
Yeah. Super Adrian buff. Brody is so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Adrian Brody. It's like, will Summer ever go for this incredibly attractive man? Who knows?
He's like, I am hot, but I also like comic books.
Yeah, it's what a nerd. And he's like, yeah, he wears really baggy t-shirts, but then that one time he needs to dress up for some sort of event, all of a sudden he looks really hot and everyone looks at him different. It's like,
he's in the pool in like the third episode without a shirt on and you're just like, okay,
you're not
I think we need to recast.
Uh-oh, Misha Barton has only ever dated handsome, clean-cut men, but now she likes a handsome, clean-cut man from a middle-class neighbourhood. What's she gonna do?
What a horrible show.
Nah, I loved
there's,
it.
Like, and there was some, there was, I obviously it. Didn't know the backstory or whatever, but there was a, like, I walked into the room when my housemate was watching and there was a scene where, like, some guy was crying on a boat with a very beautiful blonde woman, crying, saying, I have to go. And Lauren was like, oh, the poor... Lauren, my housemate, was like, oh, the poor guy. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, oh, he's really sad because his wife is... Like, he has to go back home to his
Jimmy.
Wife and his kids, but he has to leave his, like, girlfriend behind. I'm like, why do you feel sorry for this man? He has a wife in a mansion with some kids and he's fucking some woman on a boat and we're meant to feel sorry for him because he has to leave the boat?
Yeah, but what you're forgetting is that his wife was Julie Cooper.
That doesn't mean anything.
Julie Cooper, Mish.
Look, if you're going to have opinions, you should really educate yourself.
You've got to know who Julie Cooper is.
Yeah.
Do you know my one memory of that show, just full stop, my like resounding memory of that show is legitimately before I started watching it, because everyone playing 16, 15 year olds is like 25, roughly.
Yeah.
And then all the parents are like 40 at most, right?
Yeah.
And they're a very, very fit, attractive, well-kept 40 at most. That oh my legitimately, God, the casting of the parents and the children, I think, came from the same age bracket. Like, everyone, I genuinely didn't know which characters were parents and which characters were kids initially. Mm. That show is, like, tough. It's just all hot 25-year-olds.
I will say, though, I stan Sandy so hard.
Sandy being big eyebrows?
I love him so much. Like, I just want to get a beer with him and hang out.
Is that the actor that looks like he would be the much more popular, more attractive brother of Eugene Levy?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, cool. He looks like he would be Eugene Levy's younger brother who's much cooler.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Eugene Levy.
He is the best.
Eugene Levy has like his whole thing, isn't it, I suppose, is that he just has hotter versions of Eugene Levy all over the place. His son is like a hot version.
Son. Yeah.
His son, Dan Levy, is like, what would happen if Eugene Levy, I think I talked about this in another podcast, but like what would happen if Eugene Levy was like grew up in LA and was very fashionable and like not no different, like the same structure, but you just raised him in the petri dish that is LA. It's like it just looks a lot better. Like
he'd be Sandy Cohen.
He'd be Sandy Cohen or Dan Levy.
Yeah, absolutely. I really, really want to launch into talking about the movie that we're here to talk about.
I say.
Zach's doing the blurb. I watched this movie a few days ago because I was bored and I was like, well, I might as well watch the John Leguizamo film that we're set to watch. And I've been wanting to talk about this for 2 days.
Mish has been consistently, and I mean consistently, messaging me every like four times a day since she's watched it, going, you watched it yet? You watched it yet? You watched it yet? And then I watched it last night because I'm making a point to watch it before the day off because I've watched too many episodes of MasterChef in 1.5 speed. So I was like, all right, I'm going to watch it the night before. And last night I watched it and I finished it about midnight and I got a message. You watched it yet? And I was like, yeah, but we can't talk about it until the podcast. And she's like, oh.
I'm very excited. So please, Zach, do the blurb. What's it on? Should we say what the movie is?
It's in the blurb. The first four words of the blurb are the title of the movie. So
okay, cool.
We can, but I think we'll just jump in.
No, let's leave our listeners in suspense for another 4 seconds.
They're probably sitting here going, What could
Why have we been talking about the OC?
What could Whispers in the Dark 1992 featuring Reet Down be about? What could this episode What could this episode be about? I'm looking at it on my phone and I'm just... So here we go. This is a longer... I should just preface this. This blurb is a little bit longer because I wrote... The way I structure my blurbs, I think we both structure our blurbs, is I do a little bit of info, then I do the plot, then I do John Leguizamo's involvement in it. A bit more fluid than that. But I went to Wikipedia to just get the details and do the initial copy paste before the rewrite, and the plot description was so just there was something so special about it that I left it entirely unedited. It's like one massive sentence, so I'm just gonna mark that when it's the Wikipedia quote because I love it so much.
Fuck yeah.
Whispers in the Dark is a sexy 1992 American thriller film written and directed by Christopher Crowe. It stars the sexy Annabelle Sciorra, Alan Alda from MASH, Anthony LaPaglia from Australia, and of course, John Leguizamo from All of Our Hearts. The plot is as follows, and now I quote the Wikipedia. The confessions of a sadomasochistic, sexually obsessed patient disclosed as fantasies during Manhattan psychiatrist sessions begin to permeate the troubled doctor's subconscious as erotic dreams. This leads to a heated love affair. At the same time, a series of shocking murders occur, with evidence suggesting it is her new lover/patient.
That's wrong, though, isn't it?
It's
not correct.
It's all right, but just it's like it's written by a brain that doesn't think linearly. It's just like it's trying to just. It's.
I'm glad you read it.
He's also not her patient.
No.
Well, yeah. No.
Which they said that multiple times that he is. But he is not.
But she's the patient. Anyway, we can get into that. I've got one little bit more.
It is a lot.
And I end quote. John Leguizamo plays the part of Fast Johnny C. A patient of the main character who is an ex-con who reinvented himself as an artist but has a dark past that is vile and misogynistic. But maybe he's better now. But also maybe he's not. But also he's fun. But also he's also sexy. But also he's a very, very bad man. But also he's just trying to make his way in the world.
That was literally every thought I had about him.
Yeah, that's during so the true. Movie. I'm really glad you read the Wikipedia description because when we asked Rita to come on our pod, we gave her a few options of films and she picked Whispers in the Dark. I'm like, oh, cool. Before I watch it, I'll just give myself a bit of a description from Wiki about what it's about. And I read that. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be really long-winded and very kind of like slow-moving and it's not going to hold my interest. And then when I put it on, within 20 seconds, it was the horniest movie I'd ever seen.
So horny.
The first 20 seconds, the opening credits are so horny. Like... I was sitting there with my partner on the couch and I was just like, oh, we've got a big horny film to
You've
got to
get ready. If you have not seen this film, we're going to spoil it a lot. And I really do think you should step into it unknowing. But also, YOLO, just please listen to our podcast. We need the ad dollars.
Yeah.
Asking people to listen to your podcast while on your podcast.
Yeah, but don't...
like they're already listening.
I was about to say stop listening, go to YouTube and watch this film, which I
don't
do
encourage.
Don't
stop listening, that'll fuck up our algorithms.
It'll listen really fuck up mute. Our algorithms.
Listen to this on mute, like watch the movie and then come back and re-listen.
And then re-listen and
while,
to it.
And while you're doing that tomorrow, play the podcast, put it on mute again because you've already listened to it while you're like cleaning or down the shops and then tell your friends to do the same and just do that every day.
This is some Justin Bieber yummy shit.
Yeah, exactly. Just like listen to it constantly.
Just mute so it. That, just...
Yeah, please.
Please.
In all seriousness, I'm so happy we got to watch this movie.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'd never heard of it before. But this is the kind of movie I've talked about multiple times on this podcast, the kind of movie I really like. This is it. It's that early 90s sexy to the point of gross thriller where the plot twist is predicted from the first 10 minutes of the film. I've said multiple times as well, and I stand by this, in early 90s, mid-90s thrillers, the bad guy is always the good guy's right-hand man. Always. It always is. And so as soon as as soon as the guy from MASH came on the screen and was like, oh, hello, Anne. How are you? I was like, he did it. It's like, he's the one that did it.
Here's the issue.
As soon as you see her in like literally the first 10 minutes, have a therapy session with him after she has dinner with him, I was like, he did it.
Yeah.
I was like, you eat dinner with your therapist and then you have a therapy session?
Yeah.
What? I feel like we've crossed a little line.
I love
this. And then she has a sleepover at their house. I was like, uh-uh.
I love that you guys thought that was your initial thought, because I had the same thought. I had, structurally, I would think he did it, but they wouldn't have cast the guy from MASH because there's no darkness in him and there's nothing in the script indicating that this is a bad guy. So I was like, so I don't think it's him. And if it is, God, they're really going to have to work hard to make this ending work. Otherwise, it's just going to be the guy from MASH being like, ah, see, I've been a baddie all along, see? I was wrong. They just did that.
Yeah, they did it.
Don't you understand? I killed them all.
Well, yeah, but that was the best part was when they did show the twist of him, or the big reveal.
The big reveal.
That he was the one who'd killed...
Alan Alda from MASH killed two people because of a sexual obsession.
That's it. That's the story. When they revealed that, because he'd been such a nice guy for like the whole film up until the last 5 minutes, when they were like, oh, the big twist is that Alan Alda from MASH is the bad guy. His way of showing he was bad was screaming and flipping a table.
No, and he smashes his wife in the head with a wine bottle.
Yeah, a full wine bottle in close proximity.
And it goes everywhere. Like, it's a slow-mo smash as well. And she's like, oh, fuck.
It's just this guy. This guy has been like not just holding it together. Like, it's like not just like, because you hear about that sociopaths and psychopaths do that. They hold it together. Not only has he been holding it together, he's been holding it together to such a degree that he's Alan Alda from MASH. He's the loveliest guy in the world. And then rather than just like him staying the same or him being a cult, it's like it was all an act. It's just like, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. It was just this like, and I'm done being the good guy, angry. And then his reason the reason that he killed these men was because of this sexual obsession he had with Anne, the psychologist.
So the first person he kills, though, is because this woman's threatening to destroy Anne's career.
Mm. Yeah, and he
and
wants,
that's
and
why
he's
he
a good guy,
to protect
so he
kills her.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even get James to, like, load the dishwasher, but, like, fine.
If anything, he set the bar really high.
Although, to be fair as well, like, James walked out in the middle of like one of the weird sex scenes and he was just like, what are you watching? I was like, it's for a podcast. And he was like, ew.
You picked this, Ree.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, give me the horny shit.
I didn't know that it was going to be super horny, but it was super horny. And it was that horny... Zach, you touched on this a few podcasts ago and it stayed with me because I thought it was so true. Before that, like, third wave of feminism, the way that women were empowered in film was by making them horny like boys.
Yeah.
And that was exactly what this movie was. It's like all these women. So the main character was a female. The woman who she has weird sexual dreams about, who is killed by Alan Alda, she's female. They're both very powerful women, but the way they show their power is by being horny ass.
Yeah. They're like, I'm fucking wet, hey. And everyone's like, whoa, she's so powerful.
Yeah, she's so powerful because she's wet ass.
That's fucking sick.
Like, and it came in that wave of other horny films. So, like, very clearly, like, I'm pretty sure Fatal Attraction was kind of one of the first where it was that kind of, like, super horny powerful women, but of course, like, Glenn Close in that movie was like fucking crazy. Then there was like Basic Instinct, which I'm pretty sure came out the same year, which is this idea of like super sexy, horny women in protagonist positions, sort of.
Yeah.
And then this film came on, obviously wanted to jump on that wave, but it was just insane.
The best way to describe the plot of this movie is a woman who is. Finding a man that can make her come is so hard to come by. She is willing to protect a man who is probably a killer. Like, really pretty much all evidence and signs point to him. And she's like, he made me come once. So I'm really going to defend him until the end, hey? She will ignore everyone. She's like, I came one time. And that is more than any man has ever made me come. And I don't... He's like, kill every... She's like, I don't care. He can kill as many people as he wants. But if he comes back, more sugar for me. Mwah. Like, that's the whole plot of the movie, basically, is her defending this man.
And also, on that, what I found was really strange was... So there's this man named Doug. Firstly, let's touch on the names. Anne, John, and Doug. Who did the character names for this fucking movie? But Anne meets Doug and it's like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, love Doug. Doug is actually the partner of one of her patients.
And her patient is telling people, like telling her therapist, oh, he ties me up and he fucks me in sewer pipes and, you know, he's like, he made me stand on a chair and said he owned me. And
can I say, very 1992, like, idea of sadomasochism.
Yeah.
Like, just this idea of, like, and then he said, can I tie you up? Like, it's like, and like, that was like, they didn't.
Well, can I tie you up?
they didn't just say tying up. And then, like, and then again, the 92 idea of sadomasochism was like, and then he tied me up. And then the next step...
The next step on the journey was he tried to murder me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm pretty
It starts off like we were sitting across from each other at dinner and he had that look in his eye and I felt his leg against my leg and I'm like, now's the right time.
Fuck me behind. Yeah. Yeah.
So then I went into the fucking janitor closet and he followed me in there, tied me up to a pipe, fucked me. And then tried to kill me.
I remember at one point in that scene too, she's lying on the ground in the janitor's closet fully naked. And I was just like,
ew. Yeah. I clocked that as well. I'm like, okay. That's
you're like, you're right, he is sick.
Yeah, it's like, I get the like, you're trying to be sexy and horny by being like, oh, we were out at a restaurant and we just wanted each other so bad that we decided to fuck right there and then. And the only place that we could do it where we could scream was a janitor closet. So get the fuck off that. That's like mops and
he's
shit.
He's like, are you wet or is that just bin juice?
There's another scene in that where she's like, we're the same character. Because this is like, so basically there's just this sexy woman whose biggest credit after Whispers in the Dark is Highlander 3, The Sorcerer. She's really sexy and she's like processing these fantasies. And then there's one scene in it, like it's all kind of works. It's about her describing her fantasies and the doctor is trying to keep it professional, but they're giving her the horn. Yeah. And then, but then there's just this scene in it where she's just like, do you mind if I get naked? And the doctor's like, no, you can't. And then she's like, I'm going to get naked. And then she gets naked and she's like, I want to masturbate. And the doctor's like, no, don't. And she's like, I'm going to start masturbating now. And then she's like, oh, what am I doing?
The doctor's just like, the whole time.
The doctor's got this tone.
Definitely the worst psychologist on the planet.
She has no boundaries.
Yeah, she's meant to be a professional psychologist. She's meant to be this professional woman.
She's and like, no, don't.
Every don't, example don't of one of her sessions with one of her clients is shit. Like, yeah. She's just sitting there watching one of her clients get naked, being like, oh, I don't think you should.
Probably there's not. There's a real, like, lack of clarity. There's this, like, do you mind if I get naked? And she's like, I don't know. And then she's like, I want to get naked for you because I feel it's the final step in opening up to you. And she's like, maybe it is. And it's just this sense of, like, if you're a psychiatrist, you've done 6 years of medical school. In America, you've done, like, 3 years of science, 3 years of medical school, and then 3 years of psych. She's done, like, at least 9 years of study.
She's studied for so long.
And then when the lady goes, I want to get naked and masturbate in front of you, she's like, oh, I don't know where the lines of professionalism start. It's just like, so no, you actually can't do that.
That's like one of those. Okay, so you know when you're at the end, apparently, when you're like going to do psychology, you're right at the end of your course and they bring in actors to act like patients.
Yeah.
That's the kind of scenario that you would get in first year where it's like, all right, how would you handle this person? I want to get naked and masturbate in front of you. I've never taken one day of a psychology class, but I reckon I could have handled that situation better.
It's like
better.
When you do basic compliance at a call center job, they're like, should you give your password out to people?
Yeah.
And you're like, no. And they're like, very good, very good. It's like, if a patient is going to get naked and masturbate in front of you, are you going to tell them stop? Are you going to let them? It's like, stop. And they're like, yeah, very good. First day, really killing it.
But
like,
here's the kicker. What if they're really sexy? And what if you...
Okay, but she's hot.
And what if you got the horn?
And I love as well, this is often in 90s films, but I think it's like kind of, it's throughout all the decades. Mm. When someone's dreaming about sex in a movie and they do like, you go into their head and you see their dream and then you go back out and you see them in bed lying and they're just kind of like humping the sheets.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I wrote down in my notes, humping sheets.
Yeah, like, don't do that. Yeah, a bit much. Like, the opening scene, like after the credits, is just her in bed like dreaming about this hot blonde patient who in a few days is going to attempt to masturbate in front of her.
Mm.
And she's just like writhing in these sheets and then like she wakes up like, oh no, a sex dream. Also, you are a psychologist. Like, you know what
she's not even that. She's a sex therapist too. She seems to exclusively only work with people who have, like, specific
sexual
issues.
Dysfunctions.
Yeah, and she's really bad at it.
She's like, so bad. She's like, oh, my God, you what? Oh my god, wait, what? I wrote in my notes, first draft 50 Shades of Grey. I was like, that's what this movie is. The first draft of 50 Shades
and,
of Grey.
And 50 Shades of Grey is not many drafts in either.
No. That was the second draft.
I think that people who liked 50 Shades of Grey, like proper liked it because it made them a bit like horny.
I think this was like the first 50 Shades of Grey.
You need to watch Whispers in the Dark. It's like vintage horn.
I struggle to understand because I've got to admit, like, I actually haven't seen Basic Instinct or any of those ones. This is actually
my favorite.
Neither.
This is actually, I think, my first horny thriller, which was such a big genre in the 90s. Welcome. And I got to say, I love horny thriller. I love this.
Welcome to my world.
It's just this amazing thing. Like, and I think it happened a lot in like the 80s and 90s where people were like, just picking genre, like horror comedy kind of came up at the same time. Mm. I was like, it's horror, but it's comedy. And there's just like a lot of those things. And I just love that someone, and I think it was Paul Verhoeven, I think it was that guy, just was like, what about the thriller, but we make it horny? And that's all it is.
It's a thriller, but it's also a porn.
You don't know who the murderer is for the entire film. But also, they're all sexy and want to fuck. But there's no, like, synergy beyond that. That's actually a bit awkward sometimes because they're like, this person is a murderer, but also very sexy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So just for clarity for the listeners and this sex therapist who shouldn't be.
Can I just interject, Mish, just before you keep talking? For clarity for the listener... And also for me, I watched the film, but I do think I need this help.
Sure. Anne, who was the sex therapist, she starts dating this guy named Doug, who is meant to be the hot, like really, really attractive. Probably the most, like if you drew a picture of a middle-aged white man in the early 90s, you'd draw Doug. Like he is the
he looks like a triceratops.
It was somewhere between Doug, a guy named Doug, fucking everyone, and a scene where a woman describes coming just from someone saying something that I thought, you know what? I reckon this was written by a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon so.
I reckon Doug getting all the ladies. I reckon
it's honestly
Columbus
when
or whatever
casting,
the fuck his name is, fancies himself as a bit of a Doug.
I think when casting this film as well, particularly the role of Doug, they didn't cast based on talent. They cast based on whether or not the actor's face looked like someone named Doug because he is the most Doug-looking person in the world. Anyway, I've forgotten what I was saying now.
You were explaining Anne and all the relationships, but Anne and Doug.
This is this weirdness, right? So Anne starts dating this dude named Doug. Doug very quickly starts being accused of murder.
Not only does she start dating Doug, her patient was dating Doug. And what the patient is describing is her sexual adventures with Doug. And then by chance, the psych starts dating Doug as well. And then
and
they
also
discover it.
Not really touched on the fact that her boyfriend was in another relationship.
No.
Like she seems to forgive him very quickly. She's not brought up.
I told
very
you,
quickly.
She's like, he made me come once.
Yeah, very quickly.
You do whatever you want, Doug.
It's very clear that the writer of this film, not very well, because we all know it was Alan Alda from the start, but wanted the audience to believe that Doug was the murderer. And yet Anne still wants to fuck him and date him and, like, be with him. I don't know, man. It just that there was so many holes.
There's a layer with
said,
Doug.
I'm falling in love with him, and they only rooted once, and I was like, okay, this a man has so written. Like, there are so many things, especially when she's like, Yeah, like you were saying, he said I'm going to tie you up, and then I just came. I just came straight away. And I was like, wouldn't it be nice, first of all? But that's just, I can guarantee you that's never happened ever.
And if you're a man
out
there.
I want any mental listening, whatever you say. Like, you need to put in at least a good 10 minutes of work.
Yeah. And for any guy out there that's like, actually, I do know a girl like
no,
that.
You no, don't. You don't.
You don't. You don't. She's lying. She's lying and she's lonely and you need to ask her how she is.
She just couldn't be bothered. She could not be bothered to finish.
She's either heaps smarter than you, which I'm guessing she probably is, and she just can't be bothered dealing with your shit, or she's sad and you need to ask her how she's going.
Yeah.
It's one of those two.
There's a real layer with the whole thing, isn't it? Of just like when I was watching it, I didn't realize that I knew, like, I've read Cosmopolitan and I've had girlfriends explain things to me. And I knew that, okay, we need to use more than our willies. I thought that that's where we were coming from. I thought that that's the journey we've been on in the last 20 years as men, that we had to realize that. Little did I know that in 1992, people thought they could just whisper sexy things.
Oh.
Also, like, by the way, women wish that were the case. Like, we're not like, oh my god, no, it takes way more to make me calm. It's like, I would love for that to be the situation. You know, James is like, I packed the dishwasher, and I'm like, fucking yes, that's so good, thank you. But no, it's like, I have to schedule time. But also, can I just say, I wrote down as well, when the therapist is listening to this woman describe these, like, intense sexual fantasies, her face of just being like, fuck, oh my god. I'm like, that's just me anytime a single friend tells me about, like, their one night stand. Like,
yeah.
I've been in a relationship for almost 10 years now, and I'm like, oh, that's me. Being like,
but also, Ree, that's fine though, Ree, because you are their friend and this woman's meant to be a professional therapist.
Yeah, that's why it's okay that I let my friends masturbate in front of me.
Yeah, but that's different because you're not a professional psychologist.
I also hate that she referred to having a pussy eaten as made love. Like, she was like, yeah, and then he made love to me. I'm like, he's clearly eating your snatch.
Hey, I think that there's elements in which being able, like, if someone goes down on you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like making love.
No, I hate that. I hate that so much.
Is it?
Yeah, he made love to my pussy with his mouth.
I legitimately just thought that the writer didn't understand anatomy. I was like, so he got on his knees. I'm like,
he gets
okay.
on a chair as well.
I've got it. The writer of this movie is very clearly that guy in high school who had sex first. He was one of the first guys to have sex, but has then since not had sex. So he had to and was made to feel like a real fucking stud because he was one of the first people to have sex and she was probably a couple of years older than him and he felt like a fucking stud. And then since then, high school finished and he just couldn't get laid, but he still had stud head. Like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, he had the head of a stud.
Absolutely.
And he was like, I know what sex is. And then he wrote this and all his mates who have since had plenty sex were just like, oh, I reckon Gary hasn't had much sex since high school.
Pretty much.
That's who wrote this.
You fucking nailed it. That's literally, I hate this man so much.
Yeah, same. Can we just talk about another element of this movie really quickly that's not really anything to do with being horny? Sorry to put that on pause. So Anthony LaPaglia was in this film.
So, yeah, I need to talk about Anthony LaPaglia, guys. Like,
go for it, Zach.
Where was Anthony LaPaglia in this? When did Anthony... Because you're watching the movie and you're like, yeah, it's pretty good. I don't think John Leguizamo is coming back. I was really sad. I was like, 20 minutes in, I'm like, I think John Leguizamo was just in it for the start because he has no material connection to any of the actors. It wouldn't really work for him to be folded into the plot. But they gave it a crack. So I was like, all right, so
they managed.
There's not going to be any more, not much more Leguizamo. We're just sexy lady Doug and that's about it. And then suddenly, Oh, to my joy, in walks Anthony LaPaglia as the most unprofessional police officer of all time.
That's what I want to talk about. Not that. Okay. So we've discussed the fact that the therapist was clearly had no training and didn't know how to handle people
yeah.
who were having emotional turmoil in their lives. Clearly.
I'm like, who are these people? Cops?
Yeah. And then in comes Anthony LaPaglia to handle the murder case. And he handled it like a bitchy high school girl yeah. from an American teen movie.
He calls her up. He's like,
you did it.
Oh, fuck. I've done it again.
Yeah. Yeah, he just, firstly, he walks into the room and sees Anne.
Sorry.
Oh, you're all right, mate.
So we should just say that a couple of times we are recording over Zoom and I was going to let it go, but I cannot be fucked editing it out. I'm so fucking done with editing GarageBand fucking podcasts on my fucking laptop. Not on you, Ree. Ree's headphones did slip out a couple of times. That's why she made that sound before and that's what happened just then.
Just so you know, every time she does it, she goes, oh, fuck.
So and every time Ree's gone, sorry. Oh, fuck, sorry. It's just been like a small issue with her headphones. I don't care. Ree doesn't care. We don't care.
I kind of care now.
But it's so fine. It's not a big deal. If I could be fucked, I would have edited it out. But it's yeah. not been edited out. That's the explanation. Anyway,
every time
on.
You did it, I was like, poor Zach. Poor Zach.
Well, no, poor not Zach. Poor Zach anymore. Zach's not editing it out.
I've put the cord away from me so it won't happen again. I'm so sorry.
What were you going to say about Anthony LaPaglia, Ree?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, about him being unprofessional. He, like, literally calls her and he's like, hey, so we found out that, like, she didn't hang herself and she, like, she was murdered. So, like, what do you know about that? And it's like, what the fuck?
The best part. So firstly, there's two. Firstly, he walks into the murder scene and she's there and he sees her and goes, what's your relationship with her? And she goes, I'm her therapist. And in that small interaction, he's decided he's accusing her. It's not even like, oh, maybe she's now a suspect. He's literally like, you did this.
And he's also like, how much does it cost to go to therapy? Like, how long should be going? She's like, 3 months. It costs this much. And he's like, wow, $4,000. And she still killed herself. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, so mean.
What the fuck?
Then, so, then he brings her so in rude. For questioning. Then he brings her in for questioning. And then when he releases her, she sees Doug. And he was just like, oh, have you met Doug? This is like blah, blah. And she's like, oh, hi. And they pretend they don't know each other. And then they're walking away. And across the police station, he goes, oh, by the way, Anne. And she turns around and he goes, I know that you two know each other. And this does not look good for you guys. Like,
he's like, I've already tweeted it. Yeah. He's like, I'm actually texting everyone and everyone thinks you're like literally so guilty.
It was so funny. And then he made her watch him interrogate John Leguizamo.
Which makes no sense.
He made her this like interrogation cuck. It was so weird.
I really love, I just want to nail back.
Interrogation cuck.
I want to loop back to the phone
you like
call
that,
that Ree brought up. I love that phone call reference because it's like fucking hell, that's so funny. He literally just like, that's like the I feel like most police things, if you know that someone didn't commit suicide, that they were murdered, that's like a really good tool to use in interrogation.
Totally.
You come into the interrogation, you talk about the suicide, and then if they let slip anything that it reveals that they know it's a murder, that's like then a tool that can be used, or you can reveal it to shock them.
Yeah.
He literally...
all I watch is crime shows, and I was like, this is the most unprofessional shit I've ever fucking seen.
He literally
I've
goes...
I've ever seen in my goddamn life.
He goes to a payphone, he calls the sexy psychiatrist, he's like,
at
guess
night.
What?
It's probably like 11 o'clock at night.
11 p.m.
He's on the street. He's
he calls
on the street
her up.
On a payphone.
He it's calls like, her hey. Up on the street, he's like, hey, guess what? Your patient, get this, your patient who you could be genuinely grieving the death of, because I'm, you, guess what, mate? It didn't kill herself. She was fucking murdered.
Yeah.
She was P.S. fucking murdered, mate. She was fucking murdered. Anyway,
keep
champ, if you can come in tomorrow,
come down.
We can have a little chat about it. I'll give you 12 hours to sort out an alibi.
Which is even more fucked now you think about it. Like when he came in and they didn't suspect it to be murder, and he thought that she just killed herself. He sees this woman who's his like. Who's this person's therapist, crying, obviously quite shaken up, and decides to take that moment to go over and suggest that the woman killed herself because she was getting shit therapy.
Yeah. He's like, where's your office?
This is a cop. This isn't just some guy off the street who's a bit of a cunt. This is a cop.
He's like, where's your office? She's like, Fifth Avenue. He's like, pretty far away from your office. Like, do you always, I don't know, pop in and see your little clients? And she's like, oh my God, I've just seen a dead body. Like,
my client.
Me a goddamn.
My client.
I've been treating.
Just killed herself. I have just failed as a psychiatrist. And at this point, it's not a murder. He hasn't discovered that yet. At this point, like, if, see it from
she's
his perspective.
She's just killed herself.
See it from his perspective. A police officer has come into a very sad scene, which is a suicide. It's really awful. She was discovered by her psychiatrist who's going above and beyond to check on her. That's the information he has at this point. And what he decides to do is go, you know what I reckon? I reckon you fucked up.
You know what the girls have been saying? I mean, nothing good, first of all, but they think that you're, like, a little bit, like, it's a bit sus. Like, what are you doing? That's his vibe. It's, like, that, like high school girl being like, yeah, it's, like, a bit weird you're here.
It looks like she gave you, like, a lot of money. And that's a bit strange, isn't it, that now she's dead. And you're not going to be making that kind of money again. That's probably why you're a bit upset. But also, I think she killed herself because of you.
Yeah. And don't worry. And if we find out it's a murder, we'll be calling you straight away.
We'll let you know.
We will let you know immediately. Immediately, we'll be telling you.
He calls her up like later that day. He's like, babe, guess what? It wasn't your fault. She was murdered. How about that? She was fucking
What do you
murdered.
Think about that?
What do you think about that?
Oh, what do you think about that?
She was fucking murdered, so you better come in tomorrow and tell us what you reckon about that.
Guess what, Anne? She was fucking murdered. What are you gonna do? What are you say? See you tomorrow.
Guess.
You're not talking, Anne. You're not saying anything. Oh, you okay?
You upset, Anne?
Oh, poor Anne. Poor Anne's a bit sad because her patient killed herself. Oh, did it murder?
The next day.
What a horrendous audio for anyone listening to hear.
The next day, Anne comes in. Anne comes in, as does the main suspect, the partner who all evidence points to killed her. And then he's like in the hallway, exactly like you said. He's like, guess what, babe? I reckon it was him.
But then goes to Anne's place where John Leguizamo has broken in to tie Anne up to threaten her with a cigarette butt. It was a weird scene.
Oh, I was so scared.
And
I was like, scared.
Don't, John. I was scared, but I was also like, I'm wet.
I was scared, but I was also a little horny.
Yeah,
which
was
like, basically,
I'm scared, but like, I want to fuck. I don't know.
Oh God. And he goes there, and he.
So can you just give a little context of what this scene is, Mitch? What happens in this?
Yeah,
scene?
Yeah. So John's another one of Anne's patients. Jack touched on that. Who has dark sexual fantasies, because that seems to be the only clients that Anne gets.
Yeah, she's like, give me the real fucking freaks. Yeah.
And they're not even like, they're not even mixed up. It's not like he really enjoys like having sex with stuffed animals and she really likes bondage. They all love bondage.
Yeah.
They all love
and Anne's like, ooh, this is a bit weird.
Yeah,
like,
a bit weird.
You're not the person to be treating these people.
Yeah.
Anne.
And then John mentions that he had a dream about one of the patient that goes in after him, which happens to be Eve, who's the sexy one who gets murdered. Anthony DiPaolo.
Oh, and also she gets murdered the same way that she described a sexual encounter, which she's found hanging by her neck naked, which is what, like, you know, Doug had said, you know, made her do, basically. So it was like it fit in with that. I feel like that's important to know.
I think so. No.
I don't know.
No,
it's not my fucking podcast, but.
Yeah, she was found hanging naked, her titties all out and stuff, and then they found out she was actually hit.
You're right. I forgot to mention the titties being out.
Yeah, you forgot to mention her titties.
When I said naked, I should have also specified the titties were also naked.
Clearly, the director wants us to notice that her titties are out, because even when they do face shots of people with their titties out in these movies, it's of their titties and half their face.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know who that woman is.
Yeah, I just, but we know what her titties look like.
That could
anyway.
Be Anne in a wig. I'm not sure.
So John describes to Anne that he has a sexual fantasy about Eve, like he had a dream. And Anthony LaPaglia hears these tapes and goes, okay, rather than suspect that maybe John Leguizamo had something to do with this, I'm going to just accuse him of it point blank.
Yeah.
And in doing so, is so convinced that John Leguizamo murdered this woman that when John is hanging from a balcony,
the detective literally lets him slip to his death.
Yeah, he drops him. Like, he drops, Anthony LaPaglia drops him. It feels like Anthony LaPaglia, excellent actor, such a good actor.
So good.
It feels like all he was told by the director to be was not even, like, he was sus on people, but just super aggressive.
And just, like, kind of doesn't care.
He had one colour and it was super aggressive.
Yeah. And it was just annoying. It was so annoying.
Yeah, and it was annoying because it broke from the horny stuff. It's a horny movie until... Because Anthony LaPaglia is not in any horny scenes.
He should have been interested in Anne as well. I feel like it would have been better if that he was, like, conflicted over this woman who he suspected the murder of but was also interested in her.
100%.
Why didn't we write this movie?
Yeah, we would have made it a lot better.
John would have been the goddamn star of the movie. I would have literally made him the main character because he is so fucking hot in this film.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
And we would have made it take a little bit longer for the woman to come other than just the whisper of.
Yeah. It would have been like, he fingered me for a bit and then we started having sex and then he came and then he was fingering me again and then I came.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been nice. And then I had to piss.
Yeah, then I had to go to the toilet immediately to avoid getting like, what is it? A urinary tract infection.
On our Instagram, if anyone out there doesn't follow us on at Mission Zach. Every time we announce an episode, we post a picture from that movie with a border that was created by Ree, thank you very much, around the image. Now, when I got the image, I was like, cool, I'll just put it on top of the other image. I don't know how to do that because I'm not into graphics.
Just send it to me. I'll do it for you.
See, that's interesting. I will from now on because I've been getting the head of design from the publishing company that I work for to do it for me. So I'm like, I'm so sorry, Jonathan, but could you please do me a big favor? And he's like, yeah, no, absolutely. Well, what can I do for you? Thinking it's probably work related because we work together in an office for a publishing company. I'm like, could you please superimpose this picture of a cartoon Mish face and her friend Zach's cartoon face onto this picture of John Leguizamo in a 1992 crime thriller?
And he's horny, like, crime thriller.
Horny crime thriller. And he's like, yeah, I can do that. I'm like, thank you so much. Like, I send him a work email that's like, these are the images, a horny crime thriller picture and a frame of my cartoon face. And then it has my work signature. It's like signing off, Michelle Wittrup, office manager for publishing company. Anyway, I just want to do a shout out to you, Jonathan. Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, shout out to Jonathan.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Mish. Thank you, Jonathan. That's very funny. That's very, very funny.
But yeah, please send them to me. I'll just do them.
Okay. Is there anything else that we need to say about this horny film?
What did you say about Leguizamo? Did you say much about
him? We didn't really touch on him, did we?
No, because
I have so many things to say about him. He is in four scenes. The first scene, I was like, that is delicious. That is beautiful. You were very handsome. He looked so hot. Pretty. And he's a gorgeous little artist.
Yeah.
And then the second scene, when they're going through all the things that he had been... I think he'd been found not guilty, but all the things that he'd been accused of doing to women, I thought, still pretty hot. And then when he threw that thing through the window, I was like, fuck yeah, cunt. That's sick. And then the third scene what did he do in the third scene?
So in the third scene, that's the one.
No,
where
the second scene is his second therapy appointment.
Yeah,
but so the third scene is the
interrogation. And did you talk about the fourth scene? Because there's that sort of fourth scene where he breaks into the house and he hog ties the main character and lights a cigarette and drinks her whiskey.
Rude, rude.
Hog ties her.
That was pretty fucking rude.
Very rude. He hog-ties
her.
And then he whispers into her ear. He talks very threateningly about the harm
he
wants to do to her.
And likes the sound of women being hurt.
He is a psychopath, a narcissist, and a bad man. He says, these are the things I like to do, because that's what he's been accused of. And then right at the end he goes, but I didn't do it this time. And then he unties her. And narratively speaking, it's like this man has worked through his stuff and he didn't murder her, and he didn't murder the character, and then the character's really happy at the end, and it's like this really moving scene. It's like he hog-tied his therapist. He threatened to burn her, and then at the end was like...
He cut her clothes off from the back.
Although I will say that open back shirt that she ends up wearing after it's been cut looks really cool.
Yeah, much cooler than her that looks closed really cool. back shirt.
Oh my God, yeah.
When she was
like, that's
a loser.
A nerd.
When she was a nerd with that closed back shirt.
But yeah, it was really weird. And then he goes to leave, and then he grabs a candlestick, and he's like, rah! And it looks like he's like, what's that thing where you pass the baton?
A relay race.
He starts a relay race and then he pegs it through the window. He's so good at smashing windows in this film. Mm. And then he gets out on the balcony and then she gets him a blanket and it's like, what's happening right now? What the fuck is going on?
Why has she all of a sudden forgotten? And then she gets really sad when he gets thrown out the window. That man hog-tied you in your own house.
But Mish, don't you understand? At the end he said... But I didn't kill her.
I think he says something about like, yeah, but he's like, if I did kill her, I wouldn't be able to walk away from this right now.
He's like,
what a good man.
The implication is him being like, I mean, if I was going to kill some bird and I didn't have control of that, surely I'd be killing you right now, yes?
It's like, John.
I proved my point.
That's a very good point though, Ree. He sounds like a really nice guy.
John.
I'm just a sucker for hot dudes.
You've committed a felony. Up until this point, this is a felony. So you not murdering her is just another felony? You're just choosing not to do the fifth felony.
Yeah, I'm going to prove that I didn't commit this felony.
By committing
by
three separate
my therapist
felonies.
And by threatening her life.
Breaking into your premises, physically attacking you, because that's how he got to hog-tie her, and then holding her kidnapped. Like holding her kidnapped.
100%. That's three. The storyline and the script were secondary.
You'd get less
film.
Prison time just killing her.
This movie was made.
You've been charged on three separate counts.
You've already been charged, John. You've already been charged.
You're in a lot of trouble, John.
And then you also, destruction of property at the goddamn police station, you know.
Yeah.
That was your first warning, mate.
John!
John! Johnny
you
C!
You three felonies.
John, all you had to do, mate, was go home.
Yeah.
Why did you go and then, after all of this and hog-tie your therapist?
And then he's like,
mantra?
And while she's hog-tied, he's like, look at my painting. And it's a painting of a woman strung up with her guts hanging out. I was like, what are you doing, cunt?
You're in so much trouble.
You broke into your therapist's house. You've hog-tied her. You've said you want to kill her. You're showing her grotesque artwork. You're already in trouble. You not murdering her is not proof that this is a problem for you.
If anything, murder her. Murder her and you will get away with it all. You are 100% going to prison now, champ.
For a really long time, champ.
Such a long time. You're getting really at least, like, I don't know, at least 15 years for
even
all
if
the
you
stuff
didn't,
done.
Even if you didn't hog-tie her, cut up her clothes and threaten to burn her, you broke into her house. That in itself is a hefty fine.
Yeah.
A hefty fine. You're going to have to sell a lot.
Dude,
a
at
lot
least four
of,
grand. Four grand.
Yeah, you're going to have to sell a lot of sexy, violent artwork to be able to pay for the fine just for breaking in. But then you did all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And then as you're leaving,
you're not well, John.
It looks like your therapist is going to let you go, which is insane. But it looks like she's going to let you. As you're leaving, you then turn around, grab a candlestick holder and smash her window.
And then you climb onto the ledge and you're like, call the police.
All of this
For
stuff,
what,
John.
John,
what are you talking about?
What are you doing?
You've got yourself in so much trouble, John.
I will say, though, his character was, like, actually the best. I feel like it was the best 100%. Character in the movie. Like, legit, I do feel that way.
He was definitely the best actor.
The best actor. He had, like, you know, he wasn't, like, just a black and white character, which I feel like a lot of them were. Like, she was the doe-eyed sex therapist.
the horny sex therapist that knew nothing of sex.
She had a really clear, she had a clear character arc.
Oh, God. It was like literally deer stuck in the headlights, but the headlights are two massive dildos. Like, she, what's that? Oh, dear me. Oh, I couldn't possibly have sex with a man. Oh, I also do love the part, though, when she's describing it to her therapist. And she's like, yeah, I'm, like, kind of picturing the woman. Maybe I'm gay. And he's like, whoa.
Whoa, let's not go crazy.
Let's
here.
Not go gay. Fucking hell. I was
like, could it be that she's sexy and I'm attracted to her? Yeah. No.
No, I think that's you're looking. Not it. Maybe you're looking for an older kind of father type figure. You know, an older man who's been in your life, who was there for you after your father died.
You want a man named Doug or Larry or George?
We're not sure. That's we're what not you sure. Want.
Can I ask you guys a question just quickly? Before you found out, I know you said you were pretty confident it was Alan Alda, but I just sort of want to ask because part of a thriller is the kind of the mystery layer, the whodunit layer. Mm. And I was wondering when you kind of got towards the end, I'm curious to know who you thought did it. Was it the character that had, so Doug, who had all the evidence, every piece of evidence, circumstantial and legitimate, pointing towards him?
I low-key think Doug did it, though, still.
Do you think it was Doug? Do you think it was John Leguizamo's character, who was a complete fucking psychopath, who painted pictures to the exact nature of the murder that happened but had no link to it? Or do you think it was the guy from MASH who had absolutely no motivation or hints towards it? Out of those three, who do you reckon did it?
Not only no hints, but is consistently shown to be a wonderful man.
Who do you reckon did it?
He's like, do you want to stay here tonight, doll? You seem quite upset. And she's like, yeah, all right. Anyway, I fucking killed her. Yeah, I fucking killed her. It's just like,
because twist this, it was me.
Then we're going to run down the beach.
Oh my, but I will say, though, when she gets him in the head with the hook, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, oof. That was full on.
Oof, that's a pretty
I
good.
I honestly think.
That's a pretty good.
That's a pretty good murder.
That's a pretty good murder.
That's a pretty good murder.
I have to say, though, obviously with this movie, for anyone who now wants to watch it, and let's be honest, after listening to this, they definitely do.
It's actually not, it's actually kind
it's
of fun.
Watch it. It's
like
fun.
It, yeah.
It's
kind
of like watch campy, it again. It's enjoyable.
You'll never watch it again, but no. Watch it once.
I want a sequel movie about John's character, legit.
He's dead, Rhea.
No, but I want like a prequel then. I want like an origin story of where he actually is the serial killer.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. That would be good.
It'd actually be that would be an interesting movie. I would legitimately watch that.
Yeah, so would I.
Anyway, yeah, because John,
it'll
if
have
you
John
listen,
Leguizamo in it, so
if you
I'll be watching it anyway for this fucking podcast. I have to say, anyone who's listening who wants to know, the storyline, definitely secondary, not important.
And we've done a dog casting, shit job of explaining it.
Yeah, the casting.
We started at the end.
Not great. All you need to know is when they were making this movie, all they wanted it to be was horny and thrilling. And it was both of those
it
things.
I was
thrilled.
So they succeeded.
I was
horny
thrilled
and
I was horny.
I was soaking thrilled. Wet. I was a bit scared.
Yeah, I was horny
job
ass.
Done.
I haven't stopped being horny for days.
Well, I finished watching this movie 2 minutes before we started this podcast. So I'm just sitting in a pool.
Of bin juice.
Of bin
was the character motivation unclear? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was the mystery complete? Was the twist completely unearned? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Was I horny and thrilled? My God, you bet your bottom I was.
You better fucking believe I was horny and thrilled.
Also, can I just quickly say too, she finds out that he's the killer because she listens to her tapes of their session. So it's like they do tapes after the session of what they think what's going on and everything for like to listen to later. Mm. And so she listens to his tapes about her session. And in the tapes, he's like, oh, I've fallen completely in love with her. It's like, why are you putting this in the tape?
He's like, it's so unethical for me to be treating her, but I am absolutely head over fucking heels for this girl. My wife, he's like, my wife, she'd be devastated. I've never fallen in love. I've loved my life for 25 years and now I want to fuck this girl. And it's like all in the tapes.
But the best thing about
what?
This is, yes, she listens to those tapes. Why did he put them in the tapes? And why does he keep them at his beach house?
Yeah. Well, like, he comes home and she's listening to the tapes too and he's like, I'm home.
They've gone to the beach house for like a long weekend because they all need to get away because everyone has just been in this murder story.
Yeah.
So they go away to the beach house while they're going down the shops to rent a video
tape. To rent a videotape, which is very to rent a video
like, what do you want in? Oh, Lawrence of Arabia, please.
Yeah,
more like Lawrence of my labia.
She then goes to put on some music and finds his therapy tapes there. Why is he storing his therapy tapes at his beach house?
Not only that, he says there, he's like, hey, you know, you've been through the murder. Can you pop some music on? I think there's a Vivaldi tape next to all
right
my tapes
where I
admit to murdering your friends. So just near the tapes where I admit that I'm in love with you and a murderer is a Vivaldi tape. Do you want to chuck that in the player?
Oh my god! It actually is so. I hate. I do. I don't. I didn't like that. Like I know that was them explaining why he did it.
They had to.
That was them giving him motive, but also like the motive being like, I killed this woman in such a violently sexual graphic way by. Like, he's obviously killed her and then he's taken all of her clothes off and hung her up.
Yeah,
excuse duck. Me. Like, you know.
Sorry.
But I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that.
That's cute. Ree, what you have to understand is all they wanted to do was make an accessible porno with Alan Alda from MASH.
This is before the internet.
In order to do that, they had to put in whatever storyline worked.
Yeah.
So that's the one they created.
Got to understand, Ree, is there was a time before the internet where if you wanted to get hard or wet, you had to go to the movies and pretend you were watching it for the thriller element.
You're like, I'm here for the storyline.
So it's good. So back in the day... That's really what it is. It's like there was a time... This is for our listener. There was a time if you were horny... There wasn't the internet. You couldn't just go on the internet. The way to be horny was to make a movie. It would be like the equivalent of this movie would be like a movie starring Ted from How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
And just like just gonzo porn with Ted from How I Met Your Mother and some horrific violence next to it.
Fondling tits.
And then at the end, Ted from How I Met Your Mother did it.
Yeah.
That's what the emotional, that's what the journey of this film was.
There's everyone going into the cinemas after, like, oh, the seats are all sticky. It's the 1980. Yeah, like.
Very funny.
I'm so glad we have porn.
Yeah, I'm so glad we're in an age now where we can access free porn as easy as we want.
Ree.
But ethical porn, guys. Make sure it's ethical.
Ethical porn is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Bell's essay is ethical porn. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think that's important. You need to know where your porn's coming from. Legitimately, I legitimately believe that.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
A big
difference.
I think this
if you
is
watch. Yeah, no, let's end on this. Just trash. This film, but let's end on a really serious point. It's like, look up ethical porn.
Yeah.
It's very important. Now, Ree, at the end of each episode, we give whatever we just watched a score out of 5 Leguizamos.
Mm-hmm.
Our listeners already know this, but I'll just quickly explain. It's not 5 stars.
I know. I follow you on Instagram. I know what it means.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Right.
So this is purely based on how Leguizamo-y the film was. Zach, okay. Do you want to go first this time?
Yeah, I will. Now, this is going to be a little bit out of the ordinary, my score. I've had a big think about it, and I didn't quite know how to capture what I loved about this movie. Leguizamo was in it a lot more than I thought he would be. He was sexy. He was so problematic, I think it looped back around to, like, not problematic anymore. I'm going to give this movie a score of 3 Leguizamos out of 5 Leguizamos, which seems like a low score, but I'll tell you why, because I'm going to then give it a bonus Lapalia. So I'm going to give it 3 Leguizamos with a bonus Lapalia. Because you can't... How good's Anthony LaPaglia?
Yeah, he's so, so good. Great. Without a Trace, heard of it?
Heard of it?
I'm going to... Okay, so this is like my... This is my... I love a horny thriller. I knew coming into doing this podcast that I would come across a couple because it's just very Leguizamo to do a couple of those in the 90s. A horny 90s thriller is perfect. He is in it more. He's sexy. We all know that he can do sexy, and he's sexy in this. His shirt is literally unbuttoned to his belly button in one scene.
Yum.
It's very hot. And the movie is so fucking insane that I adored it. Would highly recommend anyone to watch it. Based on Leguizamo's, though, I would be looking at giving it... I'm going to give it 3.5 Leguizamo. Oh, I'm going to give it 3.5 Leguizamo's, but I'm chucking in an extra half Leguizamo based solely on the shirt that he wears.
Where so it's a 4 Leguizamo film?
It's a 4 Leguizamo film for me.
I 100% agree, Mish. If I didn't feel the need to represent LaPaglia in the film, in my rating, I would have given it 4 as well. The 3 Leguizamo and a LaPaglia equals, in my opinion, something very close to 4 Leguizamo. So, yeah, fully agree with you and support you in that, Mish.
Thank you. Redown.
I feel like I'm copying you, but that's what I was going to say too. 3.5 Leguizamos, because I know how to pronounce his name at the end of this podcast, which is very exciting
that's,
for me.
That's all we've done.
And then a half Leguizamo, because he was so goddamn fucking hot in this film. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God. Like, I want an extra film based on his character. Mm-hmm. It's like that, that Dexter shit where you like kind of like him, even though he's like killing people, I guess.
Can
but
I
it would be worse
something?
Because he's like killing women, but you know, like we can make allowances because it's Leguizamo. But
you know that theory, Ree, about if you had an infinite amount of monkeys typing at an infinite amount of keyboards, one of them would eventually write the entire work of Shakespeare in its entirety. Have you heard that?
No.
Well, that's a theory. That's an idea, and it's true. And I think there's a similar theory, which is like,
or is it a true that the theory exists?
That it's true. Eventually, for an infinite amount of time, eventually you'd get Shakespeare.
True.
There's a very similar concept, which is if John Leguizamo stars in 150 films, chances are the film you're describing, there's something close enough to that. There's going to be something. Somewhere in this is like a sort of a sexy Dexter. Yeah. Somewhere in the 90s, I'm sure that happened, and we'll let you know as soon as we've watched it.
Yeah, it's so good.
We've got so much more to go through, but I am so sure that there is another horny thriller out there.
I hope so.
And I'm ready to find it.
I always love the horny thrillers with like Sandra Bullock and stuff from the 90s. Yeah. They're always so good. But this is actually a treat. Last time you guys made me watch fucking MasterChef, it sucked so bad. Like I legitimately had a terrible time watching that show.
Yeah, we're so sorry about that.
I love hanging out with you guys, obviously, but that was like this was actually, I even paid for it on YouTube. I didn't pirate it. I was like, I want them to know that I was here.
That you're committed to this.
Watching this movie on the big screen. I was like, I want it up on the big screen. And I actually like legitimately, I don't know, I actually, like we talk about how shit it is, but it's also like just fun to watch, I guess.
It was a great
proper
film.
Enjoyable. I properly enjoyed it.
100%.
Yeah, it's proper enjoyable. I will never watch it again, but I fucking enjoyed watching
it. And if you're watching it with John Leguizamo in mind, you kind of like it more because he literally has the best character in it and he's like the best actor in the movie.
100%.
And I really liked it and like being able to concentrate specifically on him made it more enjoyable for me, I think. I don't know.
And let's not discount LaPaglia. You know, you're just oscillating.
This is
John.
Not the LaPaglia cop podcast.
LaPaglia.
You've asked me for my like,
the only thing that could take away the only thing that could take away from John. Alan Alda from MASH being a psycho killer. The only thing that could mask that is the fact that Anthony LaPaglia was in the film.
I've got to say, we talked last week about Lincoln Lawyer and we talked at length about how perfectly cast that film was. And I was like, I love when a film is perfectly cast. I think I much prefer Alan Alda as a psychopath.
100%.
Give me that so much more.
But also, can I just say, it is a common theme in, I feel like, 90s, but also just in general movies, when ugly fucking dudes are cast as the romantic lead.
Yeah.
Because men run Hollywood predominantly, and They don't give a fuck what they're giving us. Like, literally so many times I watch a film, I'm like, I'm supposed to be pining for this dude. You know, when if you're
you
a
didn't
woman,
find
you're
Doug hot?
Oh, I would sit on his face just Doug? To cover it.
Doug makes love to women.
I wouldn't
he
let,
makes love to them.
I would let Doug in me, but I wouldn't let him kiss me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. And on that note.
At the end of each episode, we read a couple of your reviews, but only the 5-star ones. Don't make us fucking explain it again. Don't give us anything less than 5 stars.
Ew. Okay? Yeah, guys, don't be fucking gross. This is a 5-star podcast.
One that's titled Leg by Roundface.
Sup, Leg.
It says, sup, thank leg. You, Mission Zach, for this content. Hope to hear the famous Leg himself on the podcast one day. You and me both.
That
round
would
face.
Be so cool.
Would love that.
If you're listening to this, if you're at the hour mark and you're still listening to this specific podcast, we want you on it. You're the best actor in everything you do. And
truly.
You can be the best guest on the Leguizamarama after Ray. Sorry, Ray.
Oh, I'm stoked to be second. What? That's so nice. Suck shit, everyone else who's done this fucking podcast. I'm so far the best. Eat my shit, hot department.
Oh, Ree, thank you so much for doing the podcast. You are the second best. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
If people want to find you, how do they find you on all your socials?
Ree Down on everything, or in Brisbane, which is where I live now.
That's cute. Also, Ree has a page where she posts all her art, which we're all obsessed with. We've all, if you know a comedian in Australia at all, they've probably got a picture done by Ree. But no, they're the fucking best. And what's that? It's like at Wow Cool Art Ree.
It's Wow Cool Art Ree 69.
Very good.
The best.
My father-in-law thinks it's very inappropriate and that I should remove the 69, but I'm going to keep it.
Oh, fuck off.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a really good time. Oh, I give you guys so. 5 Zach and Mishes.
Hey!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.